let's get into today's talk. Again, we have with us Donna Griffin. She's Executive Director of SpotBus. Donna, say hi.
Good morning, Chris. Thank you.
We have Cliff Warren. He's a board member of SpotBus. Cliff?
Good morning, Chris.
And Justin Dick, he's a Sandpoint City Council member.
Good morning, Chris. And I am the newest member on SpotBus as of January 1st.
As a board member, too.
Yeah, as a board member,
all right.
You bet.
Dual role. Perfect. Well, most of our listeners have probably seen the buses going around town, and they have a route here that runs from Dover into Sandpoint, then to Pondere and Kootenai. And there's actually more to it than that, because there's some routes that are up in Boundary County and take in Boundary County. But let's back up and give some background on what SpotBus is to start with. Where does the name Spot come from? Donna, why don't you jump in on that?
So Spot is an acronym for Selkirk's Pondere Transit Authority.
Okay. So describe what that organization is.
So the mission of SPOT, it's a cooperative effort of area municipalities to provide convenient, safe, and reliable public transportation for residents, visitors, to employment, recreation, and service destinations.
Okay, so that's the mission, and it is a, is it quasi-governmental, or is it, what's the structure of the organization?
So we're a public agency, and we have seven partners on that joint powers agreement, and they're six on that. We have a few more funding partners besides that. So we have six partners on that joint powers agreement. And that includes Dover, Pondere, Kootenai. And these are the cities of Sandpoint and then Boundary County and Bonners Ferry as well.
Okay. So we've seen the buses around town for years. And Cliff, were you involved in the formation of SPOT?
I was, Chris. It goes way back. There used to be a system here in town called NICE, if some people remember that.
Yeah,
North Idaho Community Express, I think,
yeah,
it stood for.
Right.
And it operated, it was based out of Coeur d'Alene and operated in Bonner and Shoshone County. And they ran into some financial difficulties and had to pull out. But at the same time, parallel to that happening, the state of Idaho approached the Chamber of Commerce here in town and said, we'd like to do a study. Would you host the study for the possibility of a local public transportation system? And they said yes. That proceeded through, and the study was completed about 2007 or 8, and it said that the Bonner community area could support a system that would run about 26,000 rides a year, would be what we could expect. Shortly after that came the stimulus money in the 2008 financial problems. And Dover applied for some money to get a bus for Dover. And that eventually morphed into a four community cooperation. Which was still headed by Dover. This actually was a project of Dover for several years.
Mm-hmm.
It became apparent that the participating cities would all like to have more control, they created the joint powers agreement. And the four cities signed a joint powers agreement, and that's where Donna refers to we're a municipal agency. We are actually a municipal agency under a joint powers agreement, a sub-jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. And that's the beginnings of getting SPOT going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry, I kind of missed the date. This really kind of got started in 2006, did you say?
Well, study.
The study started
okay. In about 2006.
Yeah.
And it took over a year to get that wrapped up.
Yeah. I remember the NICE buses, the North mm-hmm. Idaho Community Express. They didn't seem like they had as nearly as complete of routes around this
town.
They had
no routes.
Yeah.
They had, it was a call-in, and you call, it was demand response, it's right. called. And you go out and pick people up. They were doing, when they pulled out, they were doing about 3,000 rides a year is mm-hmm. what they were delivering.
Okay. A much smaller number.
Oh, much.
And it was a call-in. You have to call them up, and it's kind of like a taxi service in a way.
Yes.
Well, we have much more robust routes now. There's a blue route and a green route. Don, why don't you describe what those routes take in and you know, what their intent of the design of the routes are?
Well, thank you, Chris. So the green route is that route that goes from Dover all the way out to Kootenay and Pend'Oreille. So it goes on the outskirts and through Sandpoint. And that route is meant to bring people into Sandpoint area and into Pend'Oreille. And then we have the blue route that goes up toward the top part of it is out toward the resort, the Red Barn, for people to go, especially during those winter months and during the festivals coming up, for instance, and goes as far south as down into Michigan and Forth. So that's that kind of Pend'Oreille downtown blue route core. And so access to downtown, access to the library, access to the hospital, the Bonner Mall area, the Home Depot and the Walmart area up in Pend'Oreille, that whole Kootenay cutoff area. And then also to the hotels up in Pend'Oreille are another source of our funds and partnership. And they like to get to the resort. They like to get to those shops downtown and the restaurants downtown and to those places, the hospitals, for instance, for the medical care pieces. So all kinds of different places and various needs, wants of anybody who needs to go there, grocery stores, education pieces.
And the buses basically circle every 30 minutes?
The routes roll every hour, and they are... They start as early as 6:30 in the morning and go until 6:30 at night. Those are those fixed routes, and they run 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, every hour.
Okay. Each route, once an hour.
Correct.
But they're staggered, so you see a bus coming through about every 30 minutes? Is that the way it works?
And yeah. Some of those places where we have those transfer pieces, those transfer places, yeah. Yes, they do transfer through.
Okay.
So by transfer pieces, you mean kind of they intersect a little bit?
Correct.
Drop off and pick up. And I'm wondering, seasonally, do you see changes such as going out to the barn to get up to Schweitzer and things like that? Is that used quite a bit for that?
Yes. That Schweitzer connection is heavily used, especially during those winter months. And then conversely, all of our routes increase during the winter months. We have a whole lot increase in ridership because mm-hmm. of our residents that use that a lot more.
In winter.
In the winter.
When the weather is inclement.
Correct.
Versus taking a bicycle or whatever they might do around town right now.
Chris, I think we should mention we have more than just those two routes. Mm-hmm. Those two routes. In the winter, the bus up to the Schweitzer is a spot route, and that's called our mountain route. Mm-hmm. We also have another seasonal route that we put in place for the festival at Sandpoint, mm-hmm. where we run from the festival out to the high school. We have a route that runs once a week down from Bonner's Ferry to Sandpoint and bring mm-hmm. people down here. That's mm-hmm. And then Bonner's Ferry, we have a demand response service similar to the old nice. Organized like mm-hmm. the old nice, mm-hmm. but it's only for Bonner's Ferry and Moyet Springs, mm-hmm. That area. So mm-hmm. we run a lot more than just the two routes. And then we have the paratransit service. We're required by ADA when you have a fixed route to provide a paratransit service for people that are infirmed and can't get to the bus stops. So
and that's is that a call on?
They call in on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They call in.
Okay. And I should mention that the website, spotbus.org, gives the route schedules. And actually, it has a live map. And you can see where the buses are at any given moment, circling their routes. Seeing right now, the blue and the green looks like they're both headed, they're headed different directions. The blue route is just coming into Sandpoint from Pend'Oreille, and the green route is just heading into Pend'Oreille. So that's really helpful for anybody that wants to catch the bus. You can see, hey, how long is it going to be before the bus gets to the stop that I'm at right now? Plus, there's a route schedule that lists out all the various stops that are made on the website. So that's a terrific resource if folks are interested in just checking it out to learn more about Spot Bus, but also to figure out when is the bus coming. I don't know who wants to take this one, but who makes up the ridership of the different routes, I guess?
I can kind of tell you, this is Justin Dick as well, too. I can tell you anecdotally what we've seen. I'm also on the Sandpoint Shopping District. So I've got about 25% of my employees do not own a car, and they probably live within the city limits all the way out to Ponderay and Kootenai. We see dramatic ridership of our employees going down, so we're probably talking about wage earners of $18 to $25 an hour. Again, we see greater ridership of our employees at the spot bus during the winter months as well. I think as we've all known in Sandpoint here for the last, 7 years, as the cost of housing, the cost of rentals has gone up, our employees start moving further out of the community here. So having a great vehicle also becomes a challenge, right? Trying to get in from Kootenai sometimes with your 92 Honda Accord, two-wheel drive, right, doesn't really do it as well. So we've seen a lot of that. We see a lot of the elderly, I would say, and when I say elderly, I shouldn't say elderly, I should say our 65 and up community is riding. We have a number of riders, and we had a wonderful video that was produced, I think, about a year ago with some of our riders on it. And there was a lot of riders that chose not to have a vehicle in this community. There's a big sustainability piece for a lot of our riders. And I can't talk enough about our paratransit as well. You know, Cliff mentioned that when he was speaking last. Sandpoint right now gives about, is taking about 70% of those paratransit rides that are coming in. So anywhere where we have a fixed route in Sandpoint, we have to go in a 3/4 mile radius to pick up those folks right now. So it is a huge service, not just for our employees and for the community, but those for ADA compliance as well.
Mm-hmm. What about kids, that user group? That seems like mm-hmm. a natural, that if you have a kid in Ponderay or Kootenai that wants to get to the city beach, they could jump on the bus.
Correct. And we have a lot of those kids that get on at the high school, for instance, that want to go to work up at Taco Bell or to Walmart or wherever they have their jobs mm-hmm. or want to go meet friends. So a little bit more of a breakdown of our ridership. We had 163,000 rides last year. 91,000 of them were our Schweitzer route for that seasonal Schweitzer piece of it. Of all of those, we had 4,600 of those with different disabilities that they could not get onto the fixed route buses. We had 16,400 youth, to your question. Seniors made up 39,000 of those rides, and our general population was 103,000 of those rides. Mm-hmm. So we're across the board getting people to where they need to be with all kinds of different mm-hmm. age levels, abilities to get to where mm-hmm. they need to go.
I will say I've ridden the spot bus dozens of times, mainly going up this ski resort in winter mm-hmm. because it's actually the best way to get up to Schweitzer. If you're a skier or a snowboarder, take my advice on this. It drops you off right at the front. You don't have to mess around with trying to find a place to park. You save the cost of driving up. It's a real convenience. But the interesting thing for me was there was a I don't know, 5-6 years ago, I had a spot of time where I was having a transportation issue, and I was taking the bus from in town out to connect to the Schweitzer bus, and it worked flawlessly. So the route is nicely designed that way, as I found. So I guess... How does spot bus measure up against other communities that offer rural types of transit, small communities? And I'm saying that because I know you recently got a Hall of Fame award. Tell me a bit about that.
So thank you, Chris. We had an opportunity to be at the Public Transportation Summit, and it was held in North Idaho. And spot bus recipients received 4 of the 5 Hall of Fame awards. And Cliff was one of the recipients as our Transportation Champion Hall of Fame Award winner. We also received the Agency Award for inclusive conversation implementation on a community level instead of just as an individual agency. So all that collaboration piece of it was why we got that Agency Award. Our dispatcher she's our dispatcher and our safety and operations manager and our training person. She got dispatcher of the year as well as a maintenance of fleet award. And then we also, our mechanic, an amazing individual who helps us diagnose and sends us where we need to go, or works on his backside in the back of the parking lot after routes in the winter, spring, summer, and fall. He was the maintenance mechanic champion award for the whole state of Idaho. So that's quite a compliment. Mm-hmm. And we got four of the five of them for the whole state.
Kind of sounds like, you know, you're hogging them.
So, and the winner is.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about kind of a key issue I know right now for SPOT is, and that's, is how's it funded?
There's a lot of moving parts with that. So we have Federal Transportation Administration funding. So those where we get our grant funds from, funneled through the state of Idaho. And then our partners, of course, are absolutely amazing in helping us out with the local match pieces. All those grants that we receive require that local match. And the match varies. It's about 30 to 35% on an average part of that. So we have our funding partners who are also our JPA partners. Those are our people or our organizations that believe in the system. They want it to operate wholeheartedly to the best of its ability and fund accordingly to those. So they provide the match pieces. So that would be the City of Dover, the City of Sandpoint, the City of Kootenai, the City of Ponderay, the City of Bonners Ferry, and the Boundary County. And then we have another amazing funder up at Moyet Springs. They do contribute as well.
That's the City of Moyet Springs?
Correct. Yeah. The City of Moyet Springs.
Which is contributes. A very small city.
It's a very small city, and they provide funding for us for our match pieces. And of course, Schweitzer, the Schweitzer Mountain Community Foundation, the Festival of Sandpoint, and all of that combines to come together. We also have some in-kind contributions. PISNI is amazing. They'll go out and they'll identify.
Can have a special
correct.
Needs.
Correct. Yeah. Thank you. They'll go out and they help us with our cleaning our buses and cleaning our shelters. They'll also identify problems because they're also our spot bus riders. Mm-hmm. So they will get on the bus. And as part of their daily routine, they get on the bus to go to work. They identify pieces throughout the community. Then they also make a concerted effort as a group to go out and clean the buses, to clean the shelters, or identify pieces that we need to send out. Somebody, for instance, for graffiti removal, mm-hmm. unfortunately, that does happen. And then we do have some advertising dollars that come to us through matching grants because of some of our spot ads that are on the radio. You hear them every once in a bit. And that is a in-kind contribution that we can contribute to our grant funding. And so we have some others that are, we get wonderful individual contributions. And all of those private contributions can be leveraged because of our grant funding. That $4,000 or $5,000, for instance, we had a wonderful contribution from up in Boundary County. That can be leveraged to be two or three times that gift, and it's tax deductible. Mm-hmm. So we have people who ride the buses, and they'll send us $150 or $200 a month or something like that. And that is super helpful. It also demonstrates that great community support mm-hmm. and the interest to continue the service.
Mm-hmm. And even if you're not a rider, you may contribute. As you see this as being an important community service.
Yes, and thank you for mentioning that, because that lovely person who contributed out in Boundary County saw the bus when she went to Super One. When she came out of Super One, she saw the bus. Mm-hmm. When she came down to Yoke, she saw the bus. When mm-hmm. she came out of Yoke, she saw the bus. She wanted to make sure that nobody who could not, double negative, get their own transportation had an opportunity to get where they needed to go. She right now is not a user, but she looks forward to being able to provide that and keep that community service going for everybody around her, and potentially if she needs that service or wants to take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, while you're talking about the support for this nonprofit, really highly used service in our community, how many other areas, communities have something quite this special?
We are very unique the way the system is put together, and it is a tribute to all of the parties that collaborate on that joint powers agreement. We're really unique in the way that we execute it. Other places through the state, for instance, have those taxing districts that can support their systems, and we don't have that. We have, and so we have our system the way it was described. We have people who actually have to pay to get on the bus every time they ride to go somewhere. So they're paying a fare.
In other communities, not here.
Correct.
Yeah, our system is free.
In other places in this state. And that ride varies on how far they're going sometimes, or just the bulk. Okay, so this is the maximum you pay to go to whatever your destination is. And because of our contributing partners, we've been very, very fortunate to not have to charge that fare. And it does get into a greater scale of how do you collect that money and make it affordable and able to have those routes stay on time. We have so many stops that we try to be very convenient for people. And if we have to stop to collect money or swipe a card, then that slows that system down quite a bit as well. And that's just the top of what that would get into. It's been looked at, but not.
Listening to Justin talk about the buses that help people with disabilities, we'll say assisted buses, that is unique also. And in many larger communities, urban areas, you have to use your insurance, maybe, if you're on Medicaid, or other ways of getting a bus to your house to take you to the doctors, say. And so this is a free service to in our community. And as you said, 4,600 people used it last year for just that. That's pretty special.
Absolutely. And I think I do want to mention a couple of things. We should probably dive into the nuts and bolts on this as well when we're talking about charging fares for users here, because I'm just going to give a little bit of a historical narrative here. I was on the city council for, I guess, 2 years before Cliff and Donna reached out. I didn't know much about the spot bus other than what I'd read, and Cliff and I go way back into Rotary here for many, many years. So I kind of knew what Cliff was working on. I didn't know how imperative it was to our community. So for our differently abled folks around the community, the bike racks that we put on the buses as well, I think that's been an amazing addition that we get. We've talked about the ridership. But Cliff and Donna reached out, what was it, about a year ago or so? Yeah, about a full year ago. They came to me and said, this is kind of where we're at for money. And we kind of went through this long narrative of where the spot bus had been. Sandpoint in 2023, and I mean this with no disrespect, but we need to get this information out here because of how imperative the funding pieces are for this. And what may change once we get to October 1st, when all of our joint powers, our joint partners' budgets come in here. So Sandpoint had requested harder analytics on who was getting on the buses. At one point in time, the community partners, just about everybody paid roughly the same thing, whether you were Sandpoint, Ponderay, Dover obviously paid a little bit less, but they started the program, so there were some buses that they had put into. Donna, Cliff, and the Spot Bus Board, came in and were able to really work those numbers on where those boardings were. And Sandpoint came up with anywhere from 60 to 70% of the usage with regular ridership, as well as our paratransit riders. And that doesn't even factor in what we've probably aren't capturing, which is probably another plus 3%, 5%. So Sandpoint could be somewhere around the 75% mark. With that said, Sandpoint's money is not going up for their ridership. Now, granted, they've done a good job of giving about $10,000 a year every year to fund that, but we're missing that piece. We're not getting those funding dollars when Sandpoint's not fully funded. So we've met a gazillion times with as a board and with our finance committee here. Sandpoint's fair share of the ridership is about $150,000. And right now we are going to be funded from Sandpoint for $105,000. So if you take our partner like Ponderay, we think Ponderay is going to come at roughly $105,000 as well. So just under $100,000, and they're using about 30% of, 30% of the boardings are coming from Ponderay. So as we've seen, especially over the years with these joint powers agreements, what's very challenging for everybody, And we've seen just in the last 2 years with the change of administration in Sandpoint is getting away from these joint powers agreements. And one of the reasons that's given for that all the time is that you can't be nimble. You can't make a decision very quickly. You've got to bring all the partners in, right? But this is regional transportation based upon where we're at and our area geographically. Regional transportation makes the most sense. Now, the challenging part is going back to our partners like Kootenai and Ponderay and showing them that Sandpoint is only paying a little bit above what you guys are paying, right?
And using it three times as much.
Proportionally. And using, yeah, absolutely, right? So this is where the big challenge has been, and I ended up raising my hand to get on the Spot Bus board here starting in January, and it's been an amazing challenge. I can't tell you how big the challenge is. I've been drinking from a fire hose. Cliff and Donna and the rest of the board members and the employees have just been absolutely amazing. So we've been we have been turning over every stone for the last 6 months and trying to figure out how do we find additional money. One of those pieces, and maybe Donna, you can talk about, we were able to get with our attorneys. Advertising on anything that's a government agency can be very challenging. It took us quite a long time to get the attorney to get us a contract back. But we are now going to be wrapping the buses to kind of make up for a little bit of the shortfall that we're seeing right now without Sandpoint's larger contribution. So, Donnie, you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Tell you what, no. We got to do a station ID here. Susie, who are we and who are we talking to?
We are 88.5 KRFY. We are a community radio station. We are listener-supported. So if you'd like to make a donation, you can go to our website at krfy.org. There's a donate button.
Yeah.
Talking about community, supporting community, right? And yeah. We're here with the Spot Bus folks. We have Cliff Warren, board member of Spot, Justin Dick, board member, recent board member, and Donna Griffin, Spot Bus Executive Director. And this is fascinating to me. And I just want to say one thing to you, Justin. Thanks for pointing out something to me, especially when you're talking about the paratransit. You use the word differently able-bodied. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciated that instead of disabled.
Yeah, I just want to shout out one of the city staff that helped with that. When we were working on Traverse Park and the new playground over there and the splash pad, was making sure that's Maeve over there. I think you guys may have had her on before. But Maeve she describes herself as differently abled as well, too. So, you know, everything that we did was to make that playground and that area all inclusive for everyone.
And hey, it is beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, total aside, I was just there with my granddaughters a couple days ago, and it was terrific. If people have kids and they haven't taken them there, they should do that because it's a really cool addition to Traverse Park.
Yeah. Can I make one last note on that? Because I'm really glad this came up. I apologize, guys. But one thing we used to see, and we've seen this a number of times, we live right across the street from Lakeview Park, but you'll see several kids will be on the playground. They'll have a brother, a sister, a friend in a wheelchair or on crutches. Those surfaces, the wood chips, the sand, the climbing, a lot of times they sit there and they sit off to the side and they're left out with that. And it's amazing to see. I've been over there several times, and to see kids that typically wouldn't be able to play on that equipment are playing on that equipment now.
Yeah, yeah. The little merry-go-round, they can wheel right into it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And take part with the other kids that are running around. So it's very cool. Okay, that's an aside. We're talking about the funding. I do have a couple of follow-up questions for you to clarify, Justin, before we talk about some new potential funding that could come in. And that is, so right, has the city been paying $150,000?
No. We've gone up, last year was $95,000 and the year before that was $85,000.
Okay. So the city's actually just been at par, the city of Sandpoint has just been basically at par with the smaller communities?
Correct. And that's kind of how we all met, and I'll let Cliff jump in.
I want to make it clear when we say, when a city pays their fair share, it's based on the ridership.
Right, so exactly.
There's no way that Kootenai and Dover are paying $100,000 a year. You know, right. They're not doing that.
So. Right, but to pay their fair share. This year they would be paying $150K based on that ridership.
That's correct.
And it's actually proposed right now for the budget that that only will be $105,000.
That is correct.
So that leaves you $45,000 short of that, you know, fair share formula. And I got to say, this is the time of year when budgets are being formed. This is just a proposed budget at this point. How firm is that number? And could people that are want to advocate for Spot Bus, could they influence that?
Yeah, well, thank you for bringing that up. Yes, tonight, as a matter of fact, we are going through the preliminary budget at City Hall at 5:30 this evening. If you'd like to make it, we tried to do our public comment early, sometime around 6 o'clock. The new administration has changed it where you can come in and comment early about it. So if you are there, if you're passionate about Spot, if you're passionate about parking, if you're passionate about the developments that are going on downtown that do not have parking, right, like the Farm and Flats, I'm now legally able to speak on that now that the appeals process is over. If you're passionate in the communities, I'll say one over by Ridley Village Court, as a matter of fact, where we're putting in a number of townhomes right next to some roads in North Shore, and we're going to connect one of the roads in North Shore over there to Ridley Village Road. Many of these developers are coming to Spot Bus and saying, we're going to have some parking challenges. Can you guys put a bus stop in over here, right? So we've seen a number of the community members are passionate about these things. They're just not putting it all together that Spot checks the boxes for a lot of what our community is dealing with right now. As we're growing, as more households are having, you know, 1.2 cars per person, right? And in the developments where there's not going to be enough parking.
Mm-hmm. And we might circle back on that, but Donna, we were just kind of leading into a question for you about a plan to raise some money with advertising on buses.
So yes, we have an opportunity. We have all of our I's dotted and our T's crossed. So anybody who's interested, they can place their ad. So it's not anything we invent. It's something that comes from their design, their company, that can be literally put on the rear of a bus or put on the curbside of a bus. And another, so we have a lot of different pricing options. Obviously, the whole rear of the bus is a little bit higher than the part of the side of the bus. Another really different scale of opportunity is people can literally buy a spot on the bus. So they can buy a spot monthly, a 12-inch spot or an 18-inch spot, and they can put their logo on it. They can put, we're hiring, something like that. And those are a lot more, a little bit less expensive than. So we have all different ranges of prices and ways we can help the community. And then speaking of the community, every time those dollars are spent on those ads, that directly comes back to that community support for Spot Bus, because we can take that money and use it for our leveraging pieces, for any of our different matches, for our operation pieces. So it's really a really beautiful, really great combination. So in turn, we're getting the word out for any businesses that want to get their brand out there at any given time of year. It can be a six-month campaign. It can be a year campaign. It can be a two-year campaign. That brand awareness piece, and then is associated with that community support piece, because that comes back directly to get our employees to work, to have our senior citizens go to Super One to get their fried chicken on Friday. Those really neat scenarios that we hear every day, how valuable that Spot Bus is to our senior community, for them to have that mobility piece and that safety piece of getting to where they want to go.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a twofer. If a local business advertises, high visibility place to put your message, and you also support the bus itself.
Correct.
Yeah. So this, I know that one of the buses has got an ad going on the back right now.
Yes, thank you. The Area Agency on Aging was our prime first number one, and you'll see that bus running around the community, and it is about making seniors aware of any fraud or scams or things like that. And those kinds of advertising, great community awareness, and also a caring piece of it, so that that piece that's out there all the time, pay attention to those things too, and have that opportunity to be aware.
as you say, it's an excellent opportunity. And you're looking at a shortfall. You're always looking to see where you can find more revenue. But the costs are going up. Gas prices, maintenance, as you say, the guy that slides under the bus and fixes it, makes sure it's safe, and then replacing buses too. So this kind of advertising, are you looking to just kind of meet your shortfall on increased pricing?
Yes, Susie, thank you. That's this would be directly for the operating pieces of it. So we have our capital pieces that purchase those buses or purchase the bus shelters. And then we have the operating piece of it, and that's primarily where our shortfall is right now, or the day-to-day paying our drivers, paying our shops, or the mechanic, or putting tires on the buses, or keeping those lifts working. Mm-hmm. Fuel is huge.
So this is a new program, just rolling out. There's different sizes and locations on the bus where a business could put an ad if they want to get more information on that. How do they do that?
They can give us a call.
Yeah. And Chris, they don't have to take the whole back of the bus. You can buy a quarter of the back of the bus.
So there's a bunch of different spots allocated out.
Yeah.
I will say, if a business person is listening, there's only a set amount of landscape there available. So if you are interested in that, you should probably secure your place right now.
If it was fully used, all the spaces were advertised on, what would the income be?
So fully used can get into all kinds of different things. We could go inside the bus and outside the bus and all over.
Why don't we say,
because it's a startup program, in this budget for the next year, we've budgeted $36,000 worth of income.
That we hope to raise through advertising
for the first year.
And this is a new source of income.
Yeah, the new source of income. Yeah. The potential is much higher. Mm-hmm. We've never been optimistic enough to figure out the maximum.
Selling advertising, I will tell you, from my day job, it's not always easy. But this is a kind of a unique opportunity for people to both get their business out there and support a really valuable service in our community.
So can I just add the exposure piece of that? So in Sandpoint, Bonner County, we run 4 buses 5 days a week, up to 12 hours a day. 2 of those buses are running 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. And that's just in Bonner County alone. Then we have our Bonner's Ferry bus that is up in Boundary County running 5 days a week, mm-hmm. 4 days a week. And then coming down to Sandpoint on Thursdays and going up to Moyet Springs on Fridays. And potentially, eventually, some other pieces, those are only curbside and tailside right now, but we have a lot of different opportunities for those investments and who want to get that exposure all over town a lot.
I personally think that advertising on the side of the mountain bus is the place to put your ad, because you're getting 90,000.
The mountain bus is a big bus.
Big bus. Get some spots on there. People are loading their skis. They're standing right next to your ad.
Yeah,
I think that's a great place to put an ad.
Standing in line to get on. Yeah. So, okay. One thing that you made a little reference to, mm-hmm. Justin, that, parking is really in the spotlight right now because of what's high season for us. So if anybody that tries to park at City Beach right now knows that you can go there weekends, midday, you're probably going to be challenged to find a parking spot. So how does the bus, how could it help with our parking situation going forward into the future? Would there be some changes to the routes? I know that the bus itself going right into City Beach is problematic because you get caught up in the traffic, and the bus could get really thrown off schedule by that.
Well, and part of, you're absolutely right, that is part of the challenge of trying to swing a bus down there and trying to get around. What we haven't talked a little bit about is when that bus starts to get 5 minutes behind, 10 minutes behind, we start to lose ridership, right? Yeah. Somebody's late to their job or getting back from work. However, we have this great opportunity if and when the hotel ever comes down, which we're kind of, it's very nebulous right now whether they're going to take it down and when.
That's the rebuild that's kind of
at the Edgewater.
Planned for the Edgewater, yes.
Right. So we have been approached by them in terms of putting a bus stop down there, and we've had some initial conversations with the city about making some sort of a carve out or a turnaround for the bus to be dropping off and or picking up from down there. Mm.
Okay, so that could be a possibility that the bus could swing in there. Although it's also just having a bus stop right on First Avenue, maybe you're only a block and a half away from walking into the city beach.
So. Sure, absolutely. And as well as with the, we just redid the parking lot, the downtown parking lot here. I think it was a tremendous job. We're seeing it's completely full. But one thing I think we need to talk about in terms of the parking, and I don't want to get too off a topic, but the parking study that we're going off of, and I had a restaurant down at City Beach for 17 years, you know, our biggest parking concerns are from July 1st until Labor Day, right? That is the biggest piece of the puzzle, is making sure that we've got buses moving around during those times and that our routing is really hitting those. And even if we get you to the parking lot downtown, right, you can get just about anywhere in this community. And we're hoping to generate some revenue from parking, or at least from that downtown parking lot, that would get us some better wayfinding, some signs that tell us it's two blocks over to the Cedar Street Bridge. It's, you know, basically the equivalent of four blocks down to City Beach as well, too. So we're hoping in the next couple of months here, we'll be able to really drill down on those numbers and what that'll look like.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, again, there's a ton more information about what Spot Bus is all about. Plus, you can see the route, the schedules. And right now, I'm seeing that the green route is proceeding up Main Street. Not Main Street. Main. And it's getting up near Division. And the blue route is going into Ponderay. So you can actually spot where the buses are and use that as a guide to when you need to get to a bus stop.
And Chris, on that, if I can interrupt for a second, if they enlarge that, hit where their stop is, they will be able to see how long that bus will, where that bus will be there.
Oh, yeah.
It'll say it'll be there in 2 minutes or 5 minutes.
So it's very interactive that way.
And speaking of bus stops, some of your bus stops have shelters.
Yes.
And is it the goal to have every bus stop have a shelter? And what another great way to place to advertise, I would imagine.
Correct. And we are looking at, we have an opportunity just even as of yesterday. So, Cliff.
Or you could sponsor building a stop. Correct.
You can. People can sponsor putting in a stop, and funding is always the issue for that. To answer your question, having a shelter at every stop is not in our plan because some of the stops are so low, it doesn't justify the expense of putting a shelter in. Mm-hmm. People board once in a while. The first level is just a sign. Mm-hmm. Second level, it would be a bench. And, of course, the highest level would be a shelter for people to stand in while they're waiting for the bus.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a good job for the carpentry class at the high school. And I think they've done that, actually.
Yeah. Well, what else? We're kind of going to be coming up on our time here, but what else do you guys want to put out there?
So really quickly, I just want to touch base. This is your opportunity to come speak at Spot Bus from this evening at public comment all the way until just about the end of August when the budget is finalized. With this shortfall, we are going to have to make changes to our operations, specifically in Sandpoint, come October 1st.
If something doesn't change.
If something doesn't change. And we've looked at everything from shrinking our hours of operations to taking a day off. And the big challenge of that is, how does that affect our community partners if the Sandpoint route is maybe not going as far in, or there's only one drop off, we switch to demand service. How does that affect our paratransit riders as well?
Mm-hmm. So in the budget development for the city, that's basically formulated by staff. I mean, obviously, if 45,000 more were allocated for Spot, it's got to come from some other part of the budget.
Correct. And that's always the big challenge with every budget, right? Mm-hmm. Is where are we going to take from? Is it going to be from police, fire, parks and rec? Every counselor has their own wishes that they want to get done as well, too. So again, I'm going to continue to advocate here. I know we've got a couple other counselors that are on board with me. So we're not out of the fight yet, but it's been an uphill battle here the last couple of months.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Donna, Cliff, any last words you'd like to put out?
No. you caught me by surprise.
Other than, support your local spot bus, right?
Correct. Support your local. Yeah.
If I can put a couple more things out there, is just keeping in mind, all of our buses are all ADA compliant. So anybody anywhere can board that bus and get on those buses. We want them to get on those fixed routes and take advantage of the hourly service 7 days a week in this area. Take advantage of us going up to Moye Springs and people bringing people down into Bonner's Ferry to access their services, mm-hmm. and going back up again. And then coming down here, the Boundary County people coming down here to their services everywhere, Home Depot to their cardiac rehab. Several big ones are to go to lunch with the whole group on the bus after they've done all their errands, and they go to all the local restaurants and celebrate. And then the other piece of that is, please, I encourage all the motorists out there to be patient and be mindful. We are loading these veterans. We're loading these wheelchairs. Unfortunately, our drivers are experiencing some really mean people out there honking horns and being ugly when we're loading these wheelchairs and passing on the right or the left or whatever. And it gets very, very dangerous out there. So please just be patient. Plan on the buses. We try to keep them on schedule. If you don't want to be behind a bus, leave 5 minutes earlier or leave 5 minutes later. We have that 10-minute window in there. You please go away from us and be patient with us. Don't be ugly at us. And then the other part of that is, I got to do a shout out to all of our community members who have literally kept this bus rolling, and all of our partners. This is a huge, amazing community effort. And it's so successful because of all those partners. And our drivers and our staff, boy, they're superstars. And they work super hard at making sure that everybody's getting to where they need to go. They're really caring about making sure that they're providing great service. So say hi to them, talk to them, get to know Julie, get to know all of them. We have 20 of them, so I'm not going to name them all. But anyway, they're really working hard out there for everybody. Amazing people.
So if you're on the blue route, how long does it take to do the whole route?
1 hour.
1 hour. So there's a fun hour, folks. Jump on the bus. Literally, it is fun to jump on the bus. I've done it myself.
Take your granddaughter on the bus. That would be fun.
And do the circuit and just observe, the folks that are using it and how vital it is for the community to have this pretty amazing transit system we have.
Same for the green route, Chris. I mean,
I haven't done the green route.
That's an hour, too. So you can get right back off where you got on an hour later.
Yeah. And it's free.
And it's
by the way,
it's free. Yeah.
We want to thank you for coming in today, Justin Dick, Cliff
Warren,
and Donna Griffin, for talking to us about our really great service here in our community. It's like a shining star, the Spot Bus. So thank you so much for coming in. And if you did not get to hear this interview today, it will be on our website as a podcast at krfy.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for inviting us.